Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. Jesus said to his disciples, "See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." It's 50 years now since Pope Paul VI declared St. Benedict to be one of the patron saints of Europe. What was that all about? Maybe a more recent pope can help us find an answer. Benedict XVI spoke a few times during his short pontificate of the influence of the monastic saint. "The life and work of Benedict," said Ratzinger, "proved a major influence on the development of civilization and culture at a time when Europe was trying to emerge from the dark night of history, the chaos, in other words, that Europe had become sadly familiar with in the wake of the fall of the Roman Empire. Taking up from earlier monastic rules and regulations, Benedict developed a stark, single-minded emphasis on obedience, a virtue needed throughout a society that to an extent had collapsed into violent chaos without self-respect and without mutual respect of persons and societies. Yes, the monk in Monte Cassino is searching for the spiritual wisdom that will take him to a greater understanding of the grace of God as found in the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. But as importantly as the single monk's search for wisdom is the attempt by groups of people who live together or near enough to one another to form a society based on the rule of law and the virtue of working for one another and joining together as one body in prayerful worship. Pray and work. Ora et labora. Nor was this to influence life and society only in that territory we now call Italy. At the end of the 7th century, monks from Fleury came to Monte Cassino and excavated and then stole the bodies of Benedict and his sister Scholastica, taking what they regarded as a valuable treasure back to the Loire Valley. Had this impact that the organization of monasticism in what we now call France would also be guided and dominated by the rule of St. Benedict. The rule speaks of the wisdom necessary for the growth of discipleship and the spiritual life of the reader, but it spends quite a few paragraphs also outlining how the monastery of monks is best administered and efficiently run. The wisdom of serpents, perhaps, as well as the innocence of doves. And this may be what takes us back to today's Europe, as we reflect on the importance of Benedict. Important not for Europe only. Much of the society our grandparents knew is collapsing, and the sense of there being a moral right and wrong has met with an opposition that says, what you want to do is right, for this reason that you want to do it. Yes, there is now the fall of another empire, the empire that was built on Christian moral principles and has benefited even societies that were not particularly interested in Jesus of Nazareth. But now, in our own day, those moral principles have known indifference and even outright rejection. Yes, the rule of St. Benedict speaks of tolerance and of reasonableness when dealing with the unruly or disobedient monk, but there are standards. And for disciples today, the standard is to listen to what the Word of God teaches, and then do it.